Let's get it, son. Let's get it.
Trash Talk Radio. Coming at you live on MP3 from high on a hill above beautiful Lake Washington. My name is Les Drew, and with me, as always, is the Guru.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you know how this goes. We're here to talk a little trash on the week's worth of sports. I don't know anybody except the Guru, and the Guru knows all.
Man, you know, I know just a little something, something, man. Just a little something, man.
Guru, it is episode number 74, and it is time for the Trash Talk Radio Draft Special. We've got our buddy the Almanac joining us as we talk all things NFL Draft. Who needs what? Who goes where? And who is under the most pressure? Then, the Guru and the Almanac give us their round one mock drafts. And you know we're going to do a two-minute drill. It's Trash Talk Radio Draft Special, episode number 74.
Let's roll!
Guru Man, it is good to see you. Good to see you. How are you doing, buddy?
Man, I am living the dream. Don't you pinch me, man. Don't you pinch me.
Back on another pod only, and thank God for that. Pod only audio version of Trash Talk Radio. We're here to do a little bit of a draft special. How was your weekend, buddy?
Oh, man, it was a great weekend because the only thing I was doing is getting ready for Draft Thursday. Draft Thursday. Hell yeah, man, it was a great weekend. It went by so quick. I didn't even realize it.
Man, I had a pretty good weekend, too. I got a Saturday with the kid. The wife was sick, so I spent all day with the kid. We went to a couple of different parks. Little Lester was 16 months now, so he's running around on his own and playing with things. It's a lot of fun to take him to a playground and just set him loose and see what happens for a little while, and it tires him out, which is even better for anybody. And then Sunday we went up. It was Easter Sunday. We went up to Pastor Caleb's Easter service here on Capitol Hill in Seattle. Great time. We go. It's the 20th anniversary of that one. Emily and I have been going for about 10 years now. We've been down to that thing. She's been going even longer. A great show. Always a lot of fun. Bloody Mary for breakfast at Pastor Caleb's Easter service up there on Capitol Hill. Love that every year. And you know, great news, man. Tonight it happened. The Sixers are moving on to the second round. So I'm happy. Pretty good weekend. I don't want to talk about the Phillies, but a pretty good weekend otherwise. Excited, man. How you doing?
Hey, man. It was a very, very, very eventful. Let's say last couple of weeks, we want to say 10 to 12 days in Seattle, man.
Yeah, let's man.
Say, I think the VMAC, I don't think anybody's sleeping at the VMAC the last week or two. What do you think?
I know this town's been buzzing is the other thing. Lots of news. Don't worry. I got a question, a couple questions for that in the 2 minute drill for you when we get to that. But this is our draft special here, Guru. This is your chance to put on your GM hat and get in there and build teams. And look at this. I know you've been watching this all year. You get ready for this. I can't figure it out, man. This is not something I've ever been super excited about. So why is this? Why is this so exciting to the football purist like yourself?
Oh man, it's this is all basically all the hard work. You know, this is the time in your life where you don't have all the cameras basically yet. You know, this is all the hard work you put in from 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, before anyone even knew your name, with the family, your moms or your pops or whomever, got to take you to whoever you need to go, got to drive you there because you, right at that time, you're not self-respect, you're not independent, so you need parenting, you need adults to take you to places, to take you to practice, to get you trainers, for somebody to believe in you, even you telling you everyone, oh, I want to make it to the NFL, but as always, no one is ever going to believe in you. So all that moment is all the time, all the sweat, all the tears, all the sacrifice you have made. Now it's not for the players. See, that's what people get misconstrued. It's for the families and the players and their families. That's what it's all about. Yes, I understand and I like the whole showcase in New York or in Nashville. But most importantly, one thing you always see around it, what do you always see in draft day? You always see the players and their loved ones and the family because it's all about that, because it's a sacrifice for everyone. So hearing your name is just basically the climax of, oh, my God, we fucking did it.
See, I like that aspect of it. I don't think of it that way. You know, as I come from a pure fan angle, I figure they're going to do what they're going to do, and I'm just going to read about it in the paper, and I don't. They're not giving speeches. It's not. I don't even watch the Oscars for the same reason. Give the award, and I'll read it tomorrow. I don't care. I don't know, but I, you know, that's actually nice. When you think about it, I like seeing these kids with their families. I love seeing mom beaming, man. I love the big smiles on mom and pop.
People don't realize like so what they go through. You know what I'm saying? Like the journey, that process, what it takes, so the challenges and the obstacles and all the burden and the stress it does to a family just to have that type of ultimate belief. Because what's the percentage? That's one percentile. Think about that. That's a, if you're 1% out in anything in the world, think about the struggle and the sacrifice you have to go through to achieve that. And then once you receive that, that moment right there is just, you could never replicate or duplicate that moment.
Yeah, I imagine it's especially for that's one of those things that you'll never forget as a parent, as the person it happens to. So, all right, I can see that. I probably won't be watching it, but that is a great reason to watch it. Well, Guru, let's get into our draft special here. Let's start talking about these guys whose lives are about to be changed on Thursday by getting drafted to the NFL. To do this, of course, we're going to bring in our campus check-in expert here, our college expert, the Almanac, as we usually do on this. Let me bring him in here. Almanac, are you there, my man?
Yes, I am, fellas. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well. It is good to hear you. Good to hear your voice again. I know that you've been also following this draft and getting ready for it. So let's just jump into it right here. Before we get into your mock draft, I want to ask you guys a couple of questions because I don't really follow these things as tightly as you. I just wait for it to happen and see who my team's going to pick up on it. So my first question on this is, last year we know was a quarterback draft. Everybody was saying that was the year to get your quarterbacks. That was the year to get your quarterbacks. I don't hear that this year. What are we looking at this year, Guru?
Oh, man. If this is the year, I always say this. Quarterback runs the NFL, right?
Right. It's the position.
It's the position.
We just saw Russ get the biggest contract.
Exactly. And the next best thing is, if you want to get those quarterback hurt, a la Aaron Rodgers, Khalil Mack, if you're looking to put some fear in those franchise quarterbacks, this is the draft. If you're looking for pass rushes, if you're looking for defensive specialties, if you're looking for anything to start, what they always say, defense wins championship. If you're building a team of culture and identity, starting on the defensive side of the ball, this draft will go down. This is going to be one of them drafts that will go down historically because they have so much talent and talent after talent defensively. Oh, man, I am just juiced up, man.
You know, they say it goes in cycles. It's funny to see it go this quickly. Quarterback, quarterback chaser, quarterback, quarterback chaser. Like, it's the offensive-defensive cycle.
This is how it always works. There's a reason why those quarterback last year left because of this defensive lineman. You know what I'm saying? It's a difference. That's why next year's they're going to be a quarterback class because those guys are in the NFL now. That's the cycle, man. That's what you always see. You laugh, but it's the truth. The whole defense leaves. The quarterback now is going to showcase their talent. But when the defense runs the college football like they did this year, guess what happens? You really don't have any quarterback because the defense ate them up.
Almanac, does this sound right to you? Is it a D-line draft this year from your perspective as well?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's anywhere from 15 to maybe 20 guys defensive linemen that could be drafted with first-round grades.
And these are guys will know their names, they'll make a mark?
I mean, I think you could see some of these guys making some Pro Bowls, some future Pro Bowls. You know, you never can say what's going to happen, but out of all these, I'm willing to say 50% of them are a hit and probably have long, productive NFL careers.
So then let's get into it there, I got to ask you, what teams do you guys think have the most needs to fill? Obviously, the guys at the top, you know, the Cardinals and the Niners and the Jets, all were not good. But what team actually has the biggest hole that they need to fill here, especially in a D-line draft? Who needs that role? And then let me ask you, who's under the most pressure on this draft day?
Well, to me, who's under the most pressure is John Gruden, because he traded away surefire Pro Bowlers, all pros, for draft picks. So you had proven commodities already in your in your program, and you gave those guys away for first round draft picks. So you better hit on those draft picks, or else you're gonna have a lot of egg on your face. So for me, the most pressure in this draft is on the Oakland Raiders for that simple point.
Right, you give up Khalil Mack, you better have somebody coming in and after him.
And Amari Cooper.
Yeah, you need
gave up Amari Cooper as well.
Need somebody come. What about you, Guru? Who's under the most pressure, and who's got the biggest needs on this one?
See, I look at it as two things right now for me. I look at it at two teams. Like I'm looking at two teams. One, the Denver Broncos. I'm looking at John Elway because you know how I feel about John.
Right
now, he's been making all the wrong moves, and this is a very, very important draft, especially what he's doing with quarterback carousel as well. Now we got Joe Flacco and all this situation, you know, all this quarterback.
You don't think Joe Flacco settles this?
And he loves 6-9 quarterbacks. You know what John Elway loves. So I'm really interested to see what John Elway does because that's going to dictate the head coach, how long the head coach lasts in Denver, as we already know. So I'm interested to see that. And another one I'm interested to see, honestly, I'm trying to see what Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers are going to do because I think Ron Rivera is on the hot, hot seat coming in. I think he's going to be playing for his job, and I think this is a playoff or fire season for Ron Rivera because it's either Ron or Cam, and I don't think they're going to get rid of Cam. So I'm interested to see what he's going to do when you know your job is probably on the line.
All right. So I think I hadn't heard Carolina. I look forward to hearing that when those picks come up then, too, see who they take. So it's a D-line-rich draft this year, the NFL draft on Thursday. Let's get into the mock draft, fellas, because I know you guys have been working hard at this and going out. I heard you there before. Let's start right at the top with the Arizona Cardinals. Now, they had the, top pick last year where they landed Josh Rosen, who they promptly wasted this season on. And then they've got the number one pick again this year in the draft, and the talk is that their new coach is all about the quarterback. Do you guys see it going this way? Is it this predictable?
I mean, I do. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, he's running a very particular offense, and he needs certain guys to fit his system, preferably guys that are mobile and accurate. You know, he's had guys like Patrick Mahomes in the past, Johnny Manziel's. Both guys that were very mobile and was very accurate short to intermediate range. So I think Kyler Murray will fit his system a lot better than Josh Rosen will. So for that reason only, and the GM, Steve Kime, he's under a lot of pressure too. So you hired the coach. I think you need to get a coach what he needs to be successful. So I think they're going to draft Kyler Murray with that first pick.
Exactly that reason. The scheme fit, I don't think it's about the best player. I don't think Kyler Murray is the best player in this draft. But I think schematically, new coach, it's just a model. New coach, new quarterback. That's just what you do. That's going to dictate your success or not. So I agree with Kyler Murray being the first pick.
And Kyler Murray, he impressed at the end of the season, won the Heisman, and then on all his draft days and his combines, really showed out that he seem to think he can play. Is he a guy that you guys think deserves this number one spot, deserves this all this hype as a quarterback? Is he the next Russell Wilson, or is he the next RG3? You know what I mean? Is this a guy that is going to get to the NFL and not be able to translate, or you guys think he's going to make it happen in the NFL?
Well, personally, I think now that the NFL, these teams are running a lot more college scheme offenses, a lot more of these run pass options, and a lot more, you know, motion, and a lot more shotgun as well. So I think that the NFL is trending more towards the college game. So I think he can be a good quarterback. I think he'll, you know, have a better career than RG3. I personally believe that. I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer or anything like that, but I think given how easy it is to complete passes in this NFL, I think he'll be successful.
Man, I don't like how you said that's going to be is better than RG3 that easy.
I know. I poked the Washington fan by throwing in the RG3.
Yeah, it was like with a Cowboy fan, but either way, RG3 kicked their ass in Dallas. But anyways, it's a no-brainer. Just like I said, it's all about scheme, and it fits his scheme. So just that's a no-brainer. They should be working on a contract right now rather than the pick.
So then the question becomes, what happens with Josh Rosen in that? Do you see him getting traded right away? Is he going to go for a draft pick? Is he going somewhere we can think of? What are we looking at with him?
I think he gets traded as soon as possible. I don't think you can come into camp OTAs with both those guys on your roster. So
yeah, they're such different quarterbacks.
Yeah, and that will just put them both in an awkward position, and I don't think they want to come into the camp with that. So I think they're going to trade them as soon as possible, probably on draft night.
Yep, I think so too. Yep, and I'm just saying this right now, just going on the record, just want to be the first one to say, in about 3 years, you know, Steve Kline and Cliff Kingsbury and whatever his name and Kyler Murray, they probably won't even be in Arizona.
You think none of them will be there in a couple years? That's not none of it's going
to
matter.
In 3 to 5 years, I don't think they're going to make it.
I think Washington's going to trade for Josh Rosen.
Anyways, let's go. Let's keep going. What's number two?
All right, number two is the San Francisco 49ers pick second in the draft this year. What are their needs, and who do you guys think, Guru, who are they going to pick up?
Easy one, too. I think it's the first couple of picks, I think it's an easy one. Nick Bosa fits him. He has outstanding as far as his hand movement. Oh, my goodness. This dude, that's what I love about his trade about. His hands. When you watch this guy just get leashed onto linemen and just unleash. It's just his repertoire of moves is out of this world. It's high level, and his motor is high level. He has high level traits, high level. Everything's gonna transition to the NFL with ease. Fits in with what Sanford is doing. They're running that 4-3 scheme too. Sanford is running the exact same scheme they're running here in Seattle. So he's going to fit perfectly in that situation.
Nick Bosa generally considered the top prospect in the draft, the number one Absolutely. Number one prospect. Not going number one because it doesn't fit the scheme. Does this make sense to you as well, Almanac? You see him going to the Niners at number two?
Yeah, I got Nick Bosa going to San Francisco, second pick. I agree with everything that Guru said, plus he has the bloodlines. You know, he has a brother that's a perennial Pro Bowler playing right now, and his dad played in the NFL, so... I think he has all the makings to be a future Pro Bowler, and I think that San Francisco will take him at number two.
That takes us to number three, the New York Jets, who have last year, once again, another one of those guys at the top picked up one of those quarterbacks. Is this the year they shore up the other side of the line, Guru?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I think this is going to be Quinton Williams from Alabama dominating D-tackle. We all seen what Aaron Donald has done to the NFL with the D-tackle. We've seen your boy in Philly, Fletcher Cox, what they've done. So I definitely see Quinton Williams with the Williams and Williams boy, Leonard Williams over there in New York. I love that pick. I think the Jets going to get Quinton Williams. It just makes sense. Shore up that defense. You already have a franchise quarterback. I like what they did with Le'Veon Bell. So they added a lot of pieces as far as offensively. Now you just got to stack up on the defense, and this is a great move for the New York Jets.
You agree with this one, Almanac?
Yeah, I have Quinton Williams going to the Jets also. This guy, he's one of my favorite players in the draft. Me being an LSU fan, I get a close-up look of him a lot in the SEC, and this guy was completely unblockable all year long. I mean, no matter who played against him, he stayed in the backfield. So him and Leonard Williams, I think they immediately become one of the probably top five defensive tackle tandems in the NFL.
All right, so that takes us to number four, one of those hot seat coaches we were talking about, one of those high pressure guys, John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders at number four. Guru, you're shaking your head here. Why?
He's not in a hot seat, man. They gave him 10 years, man, $100 million, man. You talking about hot seat, man? He's chilling, man. He's not in those.
That's true. You know what? That's 100%. He's not losing that job, at least not till they get to Vegas.
If they do, for 10, man, he's going to get paid for 8 years doing nothing. Oh, yeah. He's like, I dare y'all to fire me. I double, triple dare y'all, man. Look, man, Gruden.
But this is a high-pressure situation for them. Oakland, it's their last year in Oakland. They're building to go to Vegas. This is John Gruden paying off this giant contract. There's pressure here in Oakland. Who is Oakland take at number four?
Well, I have them taking Josh Allen, the outside linebacker / defensive end from Kentucky. He led the SEC in sacks. He's an elite pass rusher. He also plays the run well. I think they go and try to get Khalil Mack's replacement to get some pressure on the quarterback. The Raiders finished dead last season in sacks. They only had 13 sacks for the whole year, which is pathetic. So I think they'll take Josh Allen with the number 4 pick.
Josh Allen with the number 4 pick going to the Oakland Raiders. All right, so that takes us to the number 5 pick is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who always seem to be picking somewhere around the top of the draft. They're like perpetually in the top 10 up there. Guru, who are the Bucs taking this year? Whose career are they going to ruin?
Oh, man, get out of here, man. The Bucs just lost a Bayou Tiger linebacker. And I feel like they like to dip back into another Bayou Tiger linebacker. I see Devin White with the new coach coming out there. And what's my man's name? The Cool G. What's his name? Almanac, man. I just love
Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians. Yeah, with Bruce Arians taking over there and bringing his guys back from the Jets head, former Jets head coach back as a D coordinator. He's going to play like that Deion Buchanan type role. So I'm going with LSU Bayou, Devin White.
This is your pick as well here, Almanac.
Yeah, I agree. This is my favorite player in the whole draft. I'm part biased. I'm an LSU fan, but this kid is he's like a culture changer. You see, like Jamal Adams, two years ago, he got drafted to change the culture in that New York Jets locker room. I think Devin White will immediately step in and be one of the leaders on the defense, and I think he will start to change the culture in Tampa Bay on the defensive side of the ball. I think that's a great, great pick at number 5 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, so then this gets to the one that I'm actually interested in here is the New York Giants. This as an NFC East guy myself with the Eagles, as far as I'm concerned, they can run with Eli Manning forever, but I know that that's not going to work. I like that they're sticking with him now, but I figure the Giants have to be looking for a quarterback here. Are they looking to trade themselves into Josh Rosen with this pick in any way, shape, or form, or do you think that they're trying to make a pick? What happens with the Giants here? Last year we were talking about how they needed to pick a quarterback. Guru, what is going on this year with the Giants?
With Dave Gettleman, that's my guy, Dave. As an NFC East guy, as long as Dave Gettleman is the GM, they really could forget all about the Redskins, bro, I tell you. But with this pick, I think the Giants, they lost Olivia Vernon. They have to do something as far as that D-line. This is the NFC East. You need pressure. This is just what it is historically. So I think with this being a great defensive line draft, I say the Giants are going to draft Rashawn Gary from Michigan as far as their number 6 pick.
Almanac, is you too?
No, I do have them taking the defensive line, but I have them taking Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle from Houston. You know, he had his pro day a couple weeks ago and blew it up. He had some outstanding short shuttle and 40 drill. I think they said he finished ahead of Aaron Donald a lot of those short shuttle drills. He had a letdown season this year. Some of his tape wasn't as good as it was last year, but I still think that he goes early in the first round. I have the Giants taking Ed Oliver.
This is the first split here with the Giants, and still not a quarterback. Not a. I would think this is a team that would feel the need to fill that position given what they're working with over there now.
You would think so, but everything you're hearing saying they're not taking the quarterback with the first pick. So
I wouldn't take it either. So I think I'll go with Dave Gettleman on this one.
Is that just how bad the quarterbacks in this draft are? Is that the case? Is they just
it's just how bad the Giants' defensive line is.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a different issue entirely. All right, that brings us to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Saxonville Jaguars probably don't need another D-line guy, do they, Guru?
Absolutely not, man. The Saxonville Jaguars just paid basically Nick Foles. Nick Foles just bamboozled them to get that money. So with that said, they have to.
Excuse me, Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. Let's not forget that.
They definitely have to protect Nick Foles, man. So I think they're going with the O-line from Florida, Taylor. I think that's who they're going with.
What about you, Almanac?
Yeah, I agree. I think they take the offensive tackle, Juwan Taylor from Florida. They had offensive line had a down year for Jacksonville. They wasn't able to run the ball as they were in the past. And I think for them to be successful, I think they got to get Leonard Fournette in that running game back going to how it was in his rookie season when they made it to the playoffs. So I think they need to shore up this offensive line and get back to the run game. So I agree with the guru. I have him taking Jawan Taylor with the first round pick.
So that takes us to the Detroit Lions at number 9. Who you got, guru? Detroit taking on this one.
Oh, man, this was a tough one because I think Detroit, really, they need a lot of everything.
What is Detroit?
This one was a really, honestly, it was a really tough one for me to decide on this one. I really thought about Greedy Williams, the corner, because I think that would be a great tandem. He fits perfectly. But I think with Matt Patricia over there, I think learning from Belichick, this is the pick I think they will go with the D-line, and this is where I think they'll go with Ed Oliver with the pick, number 8 pick. Ed Oliver, the D-tackle, whom the automatic just mentioned going to the Giants.
Right, going to the Giants. He's got him 2 spots ahead here. You think they swap
yeah,
here?
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to fit there. The Lions just signed Trey Flowers off free agency as far as the D-line. I think they're trying to build that defensive line, build from that side up. So I definitely think that makes sense for them.
So, Almanac, tell me, is this where you have Rashawn Gary? Is it the actual flip-flop here?
No, actually, I have Montez Sweat going to Detroit, the pass rusher from Mississippi State, the freak who ran a 4.4, I think, at 260 pounds at the combine. But it's not just his numbers at the combine. He actually produced in the SEC, one of the conferences known for having the best linemen in the country. So, they lost Ezekiel Ansah this year to free agency. You know, he led their team in sacks the past 4 years. So I know they signed the guy from the Patriots, which his name, I'm slipping my mind.
Trey Flowers.
Yeah, Trey Flowers. So I think they drafted Montez Sweat to pair him with Trey Flowers to, you know, give them a nice little bookend so they can rush the passer, you know, get out the Aaron Rodgers and Mitch Trubisky and Kirk Cousins in their division.
That brings us to the Buffalo Bills at the number 9 pick. Another team that's in need of everything, seemingly all the time, the Buffalo Bills. Guru, which way do they go this year?
This year, I think the Bills drafting Josh Allen last year. You know, they did pretty well, but I'm going with McDermott. I think McDermott is a defensive mind type of guy. So I actually got Marquez Sweat going to Buffalo at this pick. I saw the Almanac had him at another one at the Detroit, but I have him going to the Bills. I think the Bills, obviously, they need a bunch of everything. But one thing you already have a quarterback. Now you better go attack quarterbacks. So you're in the division with the Jets got a franchise quarterback now. You got Brady in that division. So you better be able to go attack the quarterback. So that's why I think the Bills are going with Marquez Sweat.
Dolphins, still no quarterback. What about you, Almanac? Where are the Bills going here?
Well, like you said, they could use help everywhere on each position on each side of the ball. But I have them taking what's considered to be the best tight end in the draft, T.J. Hockenson out of Iowa. You know, he's not just a great pass catcher. He's a great blocker as well. You know, I think for a young quarterback, a good tight end could be his best friend. And Buffalo, I honestly couldn't name you one of their offensive weapons outside of Shady McCoy. They had who's a guys in and out playing wide receiver. So I think that Josh Allen definitely needs some weapons he can go to on offense. So I have them taking T.J. Hockenson.
Now, Hockenson, he is considered one of the best prospects in this draft. He's another guy that ranks very high in the prospect rankings. I think he's at number 4 on the NFL board, and that's high, falling down, though, in a D-line draft. That is actually – is he the first offensive player? No, we had an offensive tackle earlier as well that wasn't Kyler Murray. All right, so that gets us to the Bills at number 9. This takes us to the number 10 pick. This is your pressure team here, Guru, the Denver Broncos. What does John Elway do with his number 10 pick?
I think this is a no-brainer here. I think John Elway just – defensively, obviously, they're formidable. They're drafted defensively for the last couple of years. They got edge rushes all over galore. So I think this pick, they got Joe Flacco. You have a trio of young second-year receivers coming back who I'm anticipating to see how they progress And this pick, I think John Elway will go safe. We'll go with one of the safest prospects in this draft with the one because they have a tandem as far as running back as well. They had a nice running game. This is where I think TJ Hockenson, the tight end, I think this is a perfect fit right here in Mile High Stadium with Flacco and all those other assets. I think the Denver Broncos will hit a home run with that pick.
Yeah, see, I think Flacco needs a guy that he can hit like a tight end running across the middle that can catch the ball and take a hit because he's not bombing him deep. Although maybe in the Mile High, who knows? So Guru takes says that Denver's taking Hockenson here. What about you, Almanac? You got him off the board already. Which way does Denver go on your draft?
Well, I got Denver drafting a quarterback here, Drew Lock out of Missouri. I think John Elway. I think the Denver fans are getting sick of these stopgaps with all these old quarterbacks coming in, play for 1 year for $20 million, stinking up the joint. So I think here they draft Drew Lock, the backup, you know, and learn from Joe Flacco for 1 year, and I think he'll probably take over the job next year. So I think they roll the dice again and try to land a quarterback for the future. So I guess he'll get a hit one day. He can't keep striking out. Maybe he will.
Maybe he will. I mean, I think what was he, Guru? He was on your call out like every week last year, right?
Man, get the heck out of here.
Every week last year.
Get my man fired like that, man.
Like permanent call out status.
That was a setup.
All right, so that was our that's top 10 in the draft. Going through that, we got Murray, Bosa, Williams, Josh Allen, Devin White. First split is on the Giants. Guru's got Gary and Almanac's got Ed Oliver. Number 7, Jacksonville. You both got Taylor. Then we split again on Detroit. Ed Oliver and Montez Sweat. The Bills on 9 is where Guru takes Sweat and the Almanac says it's Hockenson. Guru's got Hockenson going to the Broncos and Almanac saying that we're taking a quarterback in another quarterback in Denver with Drew Lock coming off the board there. So all right, that's the top 10. Let's move a little quicker through the rest of these going through. Unless we got one that you guys think is a real like hole that's got to be filled, and then stop me and slow it down on that one. So let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, another team that seems to need everything all the time. Although in recent years, finding their way into playoff contention and sometimes even into the playoffs, but not often. So Guru, who do they got at 11?
Oh, yes. Going with the model, new coach, new quarterback, right? New coach, new quarterback. And I think it just makes sense. I'm going with number 11 here. This is where the DMV cat, the kid come out of the board, man. This is where Dwayne Haskins come out. I think Dwayne Haskins is out at number 11 with the Bengals.
Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback. See, I think he's a great fit for the Giants, but not going in that direction. I think he's good there. But I said, I was telling you this before, I think that's another great place for him to play. That he feels like that division, you know what I mean? Like the kind of guy that's going to stand up there in the cold and throw the ball. What about you, Almanac? Who's going to the Bengals at number 11?
I agree with the Guru. I have Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State kid, staying in the state of Ohio. I have all the pressures on Andy Dalton this year. I think this is the last year of his contract as well. They could dump him in the offseason. It won't cost him nothing. So I think it's put up a shut up for Andy Dalton. So I think they draft Haskins in the first round.
That takes us to number 12. This is actually a pretty good situation to step into here. Number 12, another new coach coming in, but quarterback going to be there as the Green Bay Packers pick at number 12 after a not particularly fruitful season last year. We know they have a quarterback, second best Aaron Rodgers. Guru, who's going with the Packers at 12?
Packers, I loved, you know, Devonta Adams over there at the receiver spot. They lost Randall Cobb. Obviously, Jordy Nelson is gone. So I think they're going with the most athletic tight end in the draft. They're going with the Iowa guy. Anything, if you get an O-line and a tight end from Iowa, or a safety from Iowa, you're getting a 10 to 12-year type of guy. Noah Fant is Aaron Rodgers' new best friend. He will be a Green Bay Packer.
That sounds pretty good. What about you, Almanac?
Yeah, I agree with the Guru. I got the same pick. I got Noah Fant going to Green Bay. Jimmy Graham, he's on his last legs. I think they went kind of heavy with defense in the offseason, finally, you know, acquiring some free agents. So you it'll be nice to give Aaron Rodgers a weapon. You know, he's a tight end, but he's more of a tweener. He's like in your Evan Ingram mold for face for the Giants. You know, he got 4-5 speed, and I think he'll be a great fit in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers.
All right, guys, I'm gonna move us a little quicker through this. We're gonna stop. You can stop me on a couple teams if you want to talk about. I'm gonna ask you specifically about your teams, but let's move a little quicker through them. We'll say 13 Miami Dolphins. Guru, who the Dolphins taking?
I think the Dolphins go on defense because they're obviously processing. So I think they go with one of the Clemson Tigers, Clelin Ferrell.
All right, Almanac, what about you?
I have them taking Brian Burns, the defensive end from Florida State.
All right, so that that takes us number 15. This one, go ahead, Guru. This is your team, Washington. Who are the Redskins drafting this year?
Skip Atlanta.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I did. Number 14, the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons, Guru.
Falcons going D lineman, D tackle. They're going with this is when the D linemen start coming out, man. Christian Wilkins going to Atlanta.
Almanac.
I got the same pick. I got Christian Wilkins from Clemson going to Atlanta as well.
All right, this is where we get to your team, Guru, the Washington Redskins. Who are the Redskins looking at this year?
Oh man, with a move, the Washington Redskins will not get a quarterback. They will not get a quarterback this year. The Washington Redskins will pull the first move and go ahead and get a wide receiver, and I see DJ Metcalf, the first receiver, 15th, going to DC.
What about you, Almanac? Does this sound right to you?
No, I have him taking Rashawn Gary, the defensive lineman from Michigan. Right. He's a little lower on my board than he was on the Gurus.
That takes us to number 16, Carolina Panthers. This is another one of your pressure teams, Guru.
Yes. If you're a coach on the hot seat and you got a quarterback, you better protect that, man. So I think they're going with an offensive tackle. This is what I go with, Andre Dillard going to Carolina.
Almanac?
I haven't taken the same position, but I haven't taken Jonah Williams from Alabama instead of Andre Dillard. You got to protect Cam Newton. He took too many hits last year.
So our first second pick on the board is the New York Giants get another run at this in the trade from the Cleveland Browns. Who do you think they're taking at 17?
The New York Knickerbockers, man. Go ahead. They're going to make that deal, pull that trigger, man. This is where I see my man Josh Rosen. I've been calling this out for a couple of seasons now, for a year and a half. Josh Rosen, Dave Gettleman made the move. Josh Rosen will be a New York Giant, change with the Arizona Cardinals.
So you think the Cardinals have this pick then at number 17? Exactly. I actually like that. We talked about that last year. Josh Rosen's a great fit for the Giants for the same reason I like Haskins there. If you're going to pick a quarterback off the board for that, I actually like Rosen better with the Giants there. And I think them getting Rosen and Saquon Barkley is a great combo if you're a Giant fan, man. That's the best of both worlds. You put up with Eli for a little while longer, you get them both. So Guru's saying they trade this one. So who does Arizona take?
And that's when I think they will go with the offensive tackle. This is I think they'll go with Jonah Williams because you got the quarterback, you got to protect the quarterback, you got offensive mind coach. It just makes perfect sense. If it makes sense, it makes some Cardinals. It's gonna make you at least a couple wins this season.
Almanac.
I have them taking Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke.
Taking the quarterback.
I think Washington is gonna be the team that trades for Josh Rosen, but for the sake of the draft for the Giants pick, I have them taking Daniel Jones, quarterback from Duke.
All right, give me the Minnesota Vikings at 18. Guru?
My favorite cousin, man. He's going with the offensive lineman, going Cody Ford, going over there in Minnesota. Protect my cousin, man, because they were sucky last year. He needed protection, man. So, 18, the Vikings going O-line.
Yeah, protection. That's what he needed last year. All right, how about you, Almanac? Vikings at 18. Yeah.
Same position, but I haven't taken Andre Dillard. That's offensive tackle from Washington State.
Tennessee Titans at 19.
Man, this was a tough one. This is where I go with the quarterback, the Tennessee Titans, going with Drew Luck at 19.
Almanac?
I have him taking Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle from Mississippi State, going to Tennessee, number 19.
Number 20, the team that was in its feelings all last year and got rid of some major pieces coming
this
in.
This is probably my favorite pick right here. I think this is my
Pittsburgh
guy.
Steelers at number 20.
This is my guy. I think this should be an easy from Colbert and Tomlin over there. This should be an easy get that pick right in. Byron Murphy, from UW, the University of Washington corner. Byron Murphy fits that scheme perfectly. He's a zone guy. They love running that zone scheme. He's aggressive. He's a better – my comparison is to Josh Norman. He's a better Josh Norman, a better athletic Josh Norman. He has great route recognition skills. He's going to be beautiful. He's going to be all pro out there in Pittsburgh. He's going to be wearing bubble bees, man. 20, I'm going with Byron Murphy from University of Washington, cornerback.
Almanac, you like this one?
I like the position, but I'll go with, I think it's a better corner out there. I'll take Greedy Williams, LSU's own.
Sounds like a homer pick to me, man.
Of course, right?
All-American, best corner in the draft, Greedy Williams.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe not quite a homer. All right, so that takes number 21. Another interesting pick here. The Seattle Seahawks, who today traded away Frank Clark for another draft pick deeper in this draft. In a D-line draft, they now need D-line. Guru, who do the Seahawks take at number 21?
21, Brian Burns from Florida State. That's who the Seahawks will be taking at number 21. They need an edge rusher. They need somebody to replace, obviously, Frank Moneybag Clark. Brian Burns is going to come right there, set the edge, get right in there. I love that pick for him. Take it right to the bank.
Almanac, Seahawks at 21.
I haven't taken Cleveland Farrell, the defensive end from Clemson. Like you said, they need to replace Frank Clark, get some more defensive line pass rushers. I think they'll take Farrell with the 21st pick.
All right, in the home stretch here as we turn to the number 22, the Baltimore Ravens. Who are the Ravens taking this
one? You just got yourself a franchise quarterback. You picked up some offensive linemen last year. Now it's time to get some weapons. You lost Crabtree. You have a John Brown. So now you got to go with another Brown. This is where I see Marquise Brown, wide receiver, coming into Baltimore.
Almanac, who's Baltimore taking with their number 22 pick?
I think they went from Ray Lewis to C.J. Mosley. They lost C.J. Mosley to the Jets in the offseason. I think Devin Bush, the linebacker from Michigan, 4.4 speed, sideline to sideline. I think the board fell perfect to them. I think he's a steal at number 22, and I have them taking Devin Bush with the 22nd pick.
23rd pick goes to Houston Texans. Guru, who are the Texans taking at number 23?
If they want to make sure they have a quarterback to live past eight games, they definitely going O-line. This is an O-line. If it's not an O-line, then somebody got to get the hell out of Houston, because they will have a problem if it's not O-line. And this time they're going with not a big one, but they're going with a little one. Greg Little, offensive tackle, going to from Mississippi, going to Houston.
Almanac, Houston needs to protect their quarterback. Who do you got?
Absolutely. I think they need to take offensive line, probably with their first two picks of the draft. I have them taking Cody Ford, the All-American from Oklahoma.
All right, that takes us to the second pick of John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders. This is one that came from the Bears in that Mac trade. Who does John Gruden take at 24?
See, first you get the pass rusher, then you get the back end, and then you get the corner. This is where I see Greedy Williams coming into Oakland Raiders right here at pick 24.
Almanac, Oakland Raiders number 24.
We flip-flop. I have them taking Byron Murphy here, the cornerback from Washington, with their second pick of the first round.
All right, so that takes him to my team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Guru, what do the Eagles need here? 2 years removed from a Super Bowl, they obviously need a backup
secondary. Obviously, they have an outstanding defensive line. Their linebacker is under, the linebacking core is underrated. They need secondary help. And I like. Why you might as well just stay there in Philly. You have that guy from Temple, man. You don't even got to go far, man. Rock your scene. Just stay right there, man. Move down the street, man, from Temple. I think the Philadelphia Eagles will go with the 25th pick, rock your scene from Temple.
I like a guy who knows Philadelphia. All right, so how about you, Almanac? Who are the Eagles taking?
I have them taking the best safety in the draft. I have them taking the safety out of Mississippi State, Jonathan Abram. He's a sideline to sideline safety, a big hitter. I think you pair him up with Malcolm Jenkins back there. I think you have a nice little safety tandem. So I have them taking Jonathan Abram.
All right, here we go. The final stretch of teams here getting out. Indianapolis Colts, Guru at number 26.
This is – I love the Colts. I love what they're doing. Obviously, they already stack as far offensively. Now they got they already stack as far as their offensive line. So to add on to what they're developing as far as defensively. So at the 26th pick, this is where I see the Indianapolis Colts taking Dexter Lawrence, the D tackle from Clemson.
Almanac,
totally agree. I actually love what the Colts are doing too. I love their new GM. And I think
Chris Ballard is my man, man. Chris Ballard is one of the best GM in the NFL. You know how I feel about my man, Chris Ballard, man.
I know. You watch them like it's sport.
Anytime you draft two rookie all pros, you know what you're doing. You know, last year they nailed the draft with Quentin Nelson and the second round pick, Darius Leonard. And I agree with the guru. I actually have them taking the best run stuffer, Dexter Lawrence, in this draft. I think if he didn't get suspended the last couple games, I think he would have been in the top half of this draft. But I think that they need somebody to protect those linebackers, and I think this is a great pick for them. And I think they take Dexter Lawrence here with this pick.
At number 27 with their third pick in the first round of the 2019 draft, we're back to John Gruden and the Raiders. Guru, who else is going to the Raiders?
I say the Raiders got the corner. The Raiders got the pass rusher. Now it's time for the Raiders to go get their, you know who? They got to get their running back. They got to get their running back. They're aging. They have no running game. This is where I see the first running back, Josh Jacobs from Alabama, coming in. He's going to be in Oakland / Las Vegas.
Guru says the Raiders, the future Vegas Raiders, take a running back here. What about you, Almanac?
Yeah, I agree. I think they take Josh Jacobs here. I really don't think this is a strong running back class, but I think he's the best of the bunch. And normally he doesn't have a lot of tread on his tires either, because he barely played at Alabama. So I think the Raiders take him. You know, Marshawn Lynch is getting a little old in the tooth, so I think this guy's the running back of the future for the Raiders.
Brings us to the Los Angeles Chargers. The Los Angeles San Diego Chargers at number 28. Guru, who do the Chargers take?
The Chargers at 28. I can't name no one as far as their linebacking core. That's why even in the playoff, they went with 10 DBs against New England, and they just got bulldozed. So obviously the Chargers got to get bigger. They got to get stronger. They got to get a little bit more kahunas. So this is where I go with Devin Bush, linebacker from Michigan. He will be in L.A., baby, with pick 28.
Pick 28, the Los Angeles San Diego Chargers. Almanac, who you got them picking?
Boy, I know they wish they hope he lasts that long. I'm taking DeAndre Baker, the cornerback from the University of Georgia. I think they need another corner opposite of my man Casey Hayward. And I think DeAndre Baker, senior, a lot of experience playing in the SEC. I think he's a good corner. I think he'll fit perfectly in San Diego.
We go back to the Seattle Seahawks from that pick they got from the Chiefs today in the Frank Clark trade. At number 29, the Seattle Seahawks. Guru, who are they taking?
With this pick, I think the Seahawks will trade. They will do what the Seahawks do.
John Schneider doing John Schneider things.
John Schneider doing Don Schneider thing. I don't necessarily know who they're going to trade with, but I don't see the Seahawks picking number 20 freaking 9. I think it might be a team I probably want to get a quarterback, so... I think it's not going to be the Seahawks at 29.
Says the Seahawks trade away their 29 pick. Almanac, so what do you see?
Yeah, so this guy, I'm not even going to make a pick. You can tell them who you think they're going to pick.
You know, if they make it, all right, if they would have picked, right, I think the Seahawks would probably go with my man Darnell Savage, Jr., DB, out of Maryland.
I think it's likely they trade, though. This is not a team that exactly. hangs on to picks.
Exactly.
They love a second and third round pick. All right, what about you, Almanac? Who are the Seahawks? What are the Seahawks doing at 29?
I know they probably won't, but this is what I would do. I would take DK Metcalf, the physical freak. You know, they have good wide receivers in Seattle, but both those guys are under 6 feet tall, and Doug Baldwin and my little short guy. What's his name?
Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett.
Hey, man, look, and we got a short quarterback too, homie. What you trying to say?
Exactly. I think they need a red zone threat. I think they need a red zone threat, man. Somebody that's big and can stretch the field. I think DK Metcalf would open the offense up a lot more. I think they need to pass the ball more. They was too run heavy last year, and even in the playoffs against Dallas, it seemed like they refused to adjust. So I think get Russell some more weapons and let him open it up some more. You pay him the highest quarterback in the league, so let him use his arm more.
Yeah, and just so add that, I think that pick will be that quarterback will be that Daniel Jones pick. I think that Seahawks pick. Somebody's going to move up to pick Daniel Jones.
Take Daniel Jones at that position, whoever takes it. All right, three left on this one. We have the Green Bay Packers in a pick that they got from the New Orleans Saints here. And then we got it's the Packers, Rams, and Patriots rounding out the first round. Guru, who do the Packers take with their number 30 pick?
Number 30 pick, you got to protect A-Rod. This one, I think, I like what this guy. I always like the Midwestern offensive linemen. So from K-State, Dalton Reznor, O-line, the Packers, they got to keep protecting A-Rod.
Almanac protecting A-Rod?
Yeah, same position, but I'll take, I have him taking Garrett Bradbury from the center going to Green Bay.
That takes us number 31, the Los Angeles Rams, losers of the last Super Bowl. What do they need here to get themselves ready to keep going, Guru?
They're going to keep going as far as defense. I think that Sue is gone from there, so they got to show up as far as their defensive line. They took a little bit of a hit, so I see them going with Jeffrey Simmons, Mississippi State D-tackle.
Almanac, who are the Rams taking at number 31?
I think they need more offensive line help. Andrew Whitworth is getting real, real old. He even contemplated retiring this year. So I think they'll take Dalton Reznor, the offensive tackle out of K-State, to help shore up their offensive line and get younger.
And with the final pick in the draft, the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, what do they do to get better here, Guru, with their number 32 pick?
With the party animal gone, with Gronk being gone, I think the New England Patriots definitely got to get a tight end. I think it's a no-brainer. I think they're going to run the second most athletic tight end left in the draft. This is what I'm going with. And Belichick loves his Alabama traits. They're going with Irv Smith, tight end from Alabama.
Almanac, the Patriots, who are they taking with the final pick in the first round of the 2019 NFL Draft?
I mean, I don't know how this board could have felt any more perfect for the Patriots. I kind of agree with Guru, but I have mine left open. I have Marquise Brown still on my board. Brady never had a deep threat like that since Randy Moss and Brandon Cooks. And I think it's between Marquise Brown and Irv Smith. I think they go with Marquise Brown. I think they lost a – Josh Gordon, his future is up in doubt, and I think they'll go with Marquise Brown, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma.
Belichick would always get a tight end over a receiver, that's for sure.
Yeah, but.
And with that, we are at the end of the first round. Guys, thanks for the mock draft here. I like the consensus at the top and splitting down towards the end. You had a lot of the teams with the same needs but different picks. But if you're betting, take Kyler Murray at that top pick. I got one more question for you on the draft before we get into the two-minute drill. And Almanac, you want to stick with us for the two-minute drill again?
Yeah, that'll work.
Perfect, because that sounds great. But let me ask you this. We'll just make it the first question in the two-minute drill that I can – now, you know what? I'm going to save that. Let's ask Guru, who is the most likely to be a bust in this draft? We've seen the numbers stack up. We know who they're taking, guys trying to fill positions, trying to fill schemes. Who is most likely to be the bust from the 2019 first-round draft?
I think it's usually when you say a bust, I think it's more likely to be a skill position player. I think one of the guys that scares me the most is DJ Metcalf. I just think he reminds me of the guy. He's one of those guys you don't even remember the name, but it's because he was a bust. He played for the Jets from Georgia Tech, receiver, fast guy. Who am I talking about, Almanac?
He played for who?
Are you talking about
Devin Smith?
Nah, I see another bust that was. He was from Georgia Tech.
You're making your own point.
Yeah, it's a lot of those guys. Exactly. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly why I think DJ Metcalf, I think he has a high ceiling, but his low ground, oh, my God, his bottom is bottom.
What about you, Almanac? Who do you see as the most likely to be the bust from this draft?
Any one of the three quarterbacks that's going in the first round. Drew Lock, Haskins, and Daniel Jones all have bust potential. I think I won't put Kyler in that category, but I think the Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, and Haskins, either one of those, I think all those guys have potential to be bust.
And with that, we are almost out of time on Trash Talk Radio, so I'm just going to go right into the two-minute drill here to talk about some of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk to on the show. This is how we play the two-minute drill each week on the on Trash Talk Radio. I put 2 minutes on the clock, and I start lobbing questions at the Guru. Almanac's joining us again this week. Are you guys ready?
Let's get it.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Clock is started. All right, we talked about that Frank Clark trade a little bit before. Guru, I just want your thoughts on this. Is this a good trade for the Seahawks?
Great trade for the Seahawks and an outstanding defensive line job. Like we said, you got to get guys now you can use cheap for the next 3 to 4 years like they did Frank Clark.
And is it good for Clark?
Oh, absolutely. It's $105 million better. Good for Mr. Frank goddamn Clark.
Good for the Chiefs?
Absolutely, because the Chiefs are looking for a guy. And the thing I want to say about this real quick, the Chiefs got Steve Spagnuolo as the defensive coordinator for a reason. He knows how to beat the Patriots. He was a D coordinator that beat the Patriots with his 18-0 team, and he knows how to get D-line and Frank Clark. It's like he's going to be used like a Justin Tuck when they had at that time. Go ahead.
Almanac, is Frank Clark worth this money?
Well, I think that's just the going rate right now. You seen DeMarcus Lawrence from Dallas, you know, he got similar money. Both those guys are double-digit sack guys who produced in back-to-back years. So, I mean, I just think that's the going rate. And I think it's a win-win for everybody. You know, they got a first and a second-round pick for him. You know, he got paid. He had some ugly allegations coming out of college of abuse. So, Kansas City is going for it. So, I think it's a win-win for everybody.
We actually didn't get to talk about it on Trash Talk Radio here. Russell Wilson, what do you think of that contract, Guru?
Got paid, and he deserved it. Russell Wilson is the second best quarterback in the league. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen it with my own Guru-letics, right? I don't need no analytics. I got the Guru-letics, dog.
All right, let's one more question here from football. OBJ not going to OTAs with his new team. Does this matter, Guru?
Oh, man, he got to go chill with Drake, man. What you talking about, man? Cleveland? Who do you know, as my man says, who do you know wants to go to Cleveland for vacation? Have you ever heard anybody say, hey, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to Cleveland.
We're going to Cleveland. Omanad, do you think this matters at all?
I don't think so, because with OBJ, you know, he always keeps himself in great top condition, no matter if he's with the team or away from the team. But I did not know he was not going to be a 10-0. I didn't know that, but I think he'll keep himself in shape, though.
I think he'll be back around eventually. I just think it's your first time with your new team. Show up, man. You know what? It's your first chance to make an impression with the squad, with the city, with everybody, with the coach. I know it's only Freddie Kitchen. Show up, man. You know what?
I agree with you, though.
I know it's voluntary. You know what? It's your first time, man. This is not the way to go. All right, so the horn sounded, but I got all kinds of questions because there's NBA playoffs going on right now. Playoffs? And I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs this time. So, all right, first I want to ask you, KD's, you know who I am, Guru. Did you see Kevin Durant in that interview? You know who I am.
Hey.
Y'all know who I am.
The bravado and the moxie from, remember this, let me just show you the transition right here. You are the real MVP. You are the real MVP. So, dude, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am, right? Boy, I tell you, boy, what a couple of $100 million could do for you, boy.
I'll tell you what, I saw that, and I thought the Warriors are not losing another game. We asked last week, are they going to get to game 7? I was like, fuck, man, they ain't losing another one. KD is out for it now, man. Almanac, your thoughts on, y'all know who I am. It was the way he said it, too, man. It was the way he's... Y'all know who I am.
He completely messed the league up when he went to Golden State, man. It's almost unfair, man. It's like, just get a championship trophy to Golden State right now.
What I tell you, the best part of the NBA is the offseason. That's why I'm like, you can talk about this all you want. How do you know what's going to happen?
All right, another NBA question here. The Thunder, let's see, I got to check in on how they're doing right now, in fact, with that game. Was a close one finishing up against Portland when we started this. Looks like Portland pulled it out.
115-118, Portland.
So Portland wins that series.
4-1.
My question then for you is Westbrook the issue, and what do you do in Oklahoma City, man? This is an early
buzzer beater by Dame to win the game. Oh man.
That's the way to do it. I love watching Oklahoma City lose. You know how I feel about them. Long live the Sonics. Fuck Clay Bennett. Fuck the Oklahoma City Thunder. fuck Howard Schultz, and long live the Sonics. But what do you do there? Is Westbrook the problem?
Unfortunately, I think Westbrook, it started early. I don't think he ever had a coach to hold him accountable. So now he's been in the league for a while now. I think whatever he is now, he's not changing it. He's a good player, but he takes the game too personal. He tries to almost make it a one-on-one instead of just playing team basketball like most point guards do. And that's why Kevin Durant ultimately ended up leaving, man. And
all right,
Paul George made him do the same.
We got the East set, so I'm going to ask you the first question. Bucks Celtics, who you got? It's a great shot. Bucks Celtics. You like the Bucks? What about you, Guru?
You know, man, look. You know I'm African, man. You know I got to go with the African, man, the Nigerian, man. Y'all keep calling him Greek, but he's like, I'm Nigerian, homie. The Nigerian, man. The Nigerian freak, man. Giannis and the Bucks. Even though I love to see Game 7 because Kyrie is dope. Kyrie is a monster, bro. He's a problem.
Other side is Sixers, Raptors. Who you got in this one?
You know I got to go with my African man. If you ever get on the field, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
My man, Joel. And you know what I told you about the Sixers? The Sixers are dancing all the way to the championship game and get swept by you know who.
I'll tell you what, they looked like a championship team in that final game against the Nets. What about you, Almanac? Who you like in that one, Sixers, Raptors?
I think I'm going to go with Toronto. If Joel Embiid was 100%, I would take Philly. But I don't like him. I just don't like – even though he's playing good against Brooklyn, they don't have really big – they're a small team.
Look great in that closeout, man.
Yeah, his legs and knees worry me. So I'm going to go with Toronto to beat them.
One final NBA question before we get out of here. It's in L.A., they need a new coach now. Are you taking a – Guru, who you betting on, Ty Lue or the field?
Dude. Real quick, that Dame Lillard shot was ridiculous. Oh, my freaking God. We got to say something about that because it's going to be a hot topic. I got Ty Lue, man.
You got Ty Lue. Who do you got, Ty Lue or the field and for the L.A. Lakers job, Almanac?
If they're smart, they'll go to Ty Lue. I mean, the formula has already been proven. Him and LeBron won a championship together. Yeah. So I think they need to take Ty Lue.
I got it. Even I love taking the field in these things, but I got to bet on Ty Lue in this one because he's the most useless coach in the NBA, and that's what LeBron needs is to have a guy just standing there who's going to take it from him. And we know Ty will. All right, one final question before we get out of here. Avengers Endgame opens this week, and I already have my ticket for it. I haven't been out to a movie since the last Avengers movie, Infinity War, because little Lestro finally met. So I'm getting out again for Endgame this weekend. My question is for you, Almanac, because I asked Guru this before, is what superhero is the Guru? If he was a member of the Avengers, who would the Guru be? What superhero is the Guru?
I think he would be that raccoon from the
from Guardians of the Galaxy, know, Rocket.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. I think he would be the little raccoon.
That's what I always take for me. He's little hairy, angry, and has a Philadelphia accent. I love Rocket the Raccoon. That's my guy. All right, and this movie is Thanos after he's destroyed half the life in the universe. Greatest supervillain ever. My question for you, Guru, final question is, who's the greatest supervillain in sports? The Sixers are taking their heel turn this week in the NBA. Hey. Who's the greatest supervillain in sports?
Woo! Rick fucking Flair, man.
Now in real sports, man.
No, man, you said that. Ric Flair is the greatest. Man, are you serious, dude? Rick fucking Flair, man. Man, and the Macho Man used to be my guy, man. Razor Ramon used to be my guy. I could name. You told my man. Are you serious?
No, who's the greatest? Dude, just the greatest villain. I think I'm going with Bill Belichick because he's a dark Jedi. Who do you like?
I'll go with Vontaze Burfict because he's dirty for real. You know, he's just dirty player.
You funny you said Vontaze, but the one I used to hate, man, Bill Romanowski, Romo, for some strange reason. That mofo Romo, dog.
If I'm going back in time, I'm taking Bill Laimbeer as my greatest supervillain of all time. With the mask out there, man, you ain't fucking with Bill Laimbeer.
Oh, yeah. I thought we was talking about currently playing.
I was, but who you
wanna... I didn't know. You didn't specific, man. I didn't know.
With that, we are out of time on Trash Talk Radio. Our draft special, 2019 draft special. You can find Trash Talk Radio on all the places you can find podcasts. Make sure you get over there, subscribe to them, leave us a comment, leave us a review. Head on over to the World of Sports Network page on YouTube. Search for World of Sports Network and get in there and subscribe to that page too. Head on over to wosnshop.com. That's wosnshop.com for all your great Trash Talk Radio merchandise and some great content the Guru's launching up there each day. Our thanks to the Almanac for joining us again this week as we make our way through the draft. He'll be back on the campus check-in segment when we get into there in the regular week. If you're looking for Guru, you can find him on Instagram at Guru's Film Room. It's just his thoughts, Guru's Film Room, and I am there every day on Twitter @MoroLestro on Twitter. That's our show for this week. Until next time, I'm Lestro.
It's the G to the U to the R to the U.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again.
Ciao. You won. the real MVP. You are the real MVP.